Today's WBFO brief was recorded at around 8:30 in the morning. This is WBFO News.
In the first major City Hall shakeup under Acting Mayor Chris Scanlon, two development administrators are leaving their posts. As of Tuesday, Brendan Mahaffey, Executive Director of the Office of Strategic Planning, and Howard Greenspan, Buffalo Director of Real Estate, are no longer at City Hall. In a statement, Scanlon thanked both individuals for their efforts in city government, but made it clear the departures were his making, saying that he plans to, quote, improve department function, hold administration accountable, and make city government function more efficiently and cost-effectively. Mahaffey was hired in 2008 and is credited with overseeing more than $10 billion in private sector development in Buffalo. Greenspan joined City Hall in 2021 for a position that oversees hundreds of city-owned vacant properties. Congressman Tim Kennedy will serve as regional whip in the 119th Congress. He was elected unanimously by his Democratic caucus colleagues on Monday. Kennedy, who's representing, of course, New York's 26th congressional district, is tasked with aligning party members around the Democrats' legislative agenda in his new role. The congressman said he's looking forward to being, quote, a strong voice for our region and state. And law enforcement agencies across the region and state will take to the roads starting today in a coordinated effort to reduce the number of impaired driving-related injuries and deaths. According to the Niagara County Sheriff's Office, the Stop DWI Thanksgiving High Visibility Campaign is one of many statewide enforcement initiatives promoted by Stop DWI New York. Oh, Governor Kathy Hochul is disappointing environmental advocates with her veto of the Wildlife Crossing Act. The bill, which passed the Assembly and Senate in May, would have allowed the state to apply for millions in federal funding to establish more culverts and crossings that have been successful in reducing the number of vehicle-animal crashes. In New York State each year, there are over 65,000 car-deer crashes, with damage estimated at $9,000 per crash. According to the Buffalo News, Hochul said the legislation would have created, quote-unquote, programmatic burdens on state agencies. Two completed development projects could help meet the demand for housing in the city of Buffalo. On Tuesday, Empire State Development cut the ribbon on the Monroe, a complex of 17 affordable apartments located in the former location of Record Theater at Main Street and Lafayette Avenue. The site, which also contains six commercial spaces, was funded as part of Governor Kathy Hochul's $25 billion five-year housing plan. In downtown Buffalo, Schneider Development is putting 50 condominium units on the market at 145-149 Swan Street. The two structures comprising the Hub condominiums, including a building erected in 1908 and designed by Buffalo's Louise Blanchard Bethune, the first female architect in the United States, and council members are taking steps to address blighted properties in the city of Buffalo. A resolution adopted yesterday calls on city officials to take proactive steps to reduce the number of abandoned properties. The Thanksgiving holiday is always a busy stretch for the travel industry, but this year in Buffalo, it's expected to be even busier. WBFO's Jim Fink reports.
For the second time in the past 3 weeks, hotel rooms in Erie County, and in particular downtown Buffalo, are in very short supply. The reason? Well, yes, there's the Thanksgiving holiday, which is a major factor, but there's also Sunday's Bills 49ers game, coupled with this weekend's World Largest Disco and two Buffalo Sabres home games. Combined, they are making for a busier than usual holiday weekend period for the hotels and travel operators such as airline carriers and even Amtrak. Elizabeth Carey, AAA of Western and Central New York's Director of Public Relations, acknowledges that this year's Thanksgiving weekend is a bit of an outlier because of the aforementioned factors.
Yeah, this time of the year, the NFTA was saying Buffalo becomes kind of like an inbound type of airport at this time of year because people who have moved away want to come back home for Thanksgiving with their families. They want to go to the turkey trot and the different activities. So a lot of people coming into Buffalo this weekend, coming back home or coming in for different activities. So hotels definitely going to be full this weekend and a lot of people out and about. So it's a great time to show off everything that Western New York has to offer.
Carey suggests to avoid holiday traveling crowds, people should extend their stay in the Buffalo-Niagara region until late Monday or even Tuesday. This is Jim Fink for WBFO News.
And also in terms of the holiday weekend, law enforcement agencies across the region and state will take to the road starting today in another coordinated effort to reduce the number of impaired driving-related injuries and deaths. According to the Niagara County Sheriff's Office, the Stop DWI Thanksgiving High Visibility Campaign is one of the many statewide enforcement initiatives promoted by Stop DWI New York and Governor Kathy Hochul's Traffic Safety Committee. That campaign begins today and runs through Sunday.
Hi, I'm Emily Watkins, and this is the WBFO Disabilities Beat. This week, I want to ask you, the listener, how many disabled characters did you see in cartoons when you were a kid, or the last time you watched TV with a child in your life? The reality is, not many shows have disabled characters. According to the Gina Davis Institute, in 2023, representation of disabled characters in children's programming was actually down from 2022. There were no disabled leads in popular children's programming, and across new programming, only 0.8% of leads were disabled in 2023. But this month, PBS Kids released a new show that stood out for being different from the trends. Here's Beth Frankowiak, the Director of Learning and Engagement at Buffalo Toronto Public Media, which operates both WBFO and WNED PBS.
So Carl the Collector is the brand new PBS Kids series that features a warm-hearted raccoon who is on the autism spectrum. And it's actually PBS Kids' first series with the central character on the autism spectrum. And the target age group for that is kids 4 to 8. And Carl just has a whole lot of fun with all of his friends who also have different degrees of disabilities.
And Carl the Collector doesn't just feature neurodivergent characters.
They have writers who are neurodivergent. Also, the little boy who voices Carl the Collector is on the autism spectrum. So it's just a really special production overall.
Earlier this month, WNED PBS held a local premiere of the show and invited kids from around the area to showcase their collections. I sat down with a few of the collectors to get their thoughts. One of them is 8-year-old Lawson, who chatted with me while flipping through his Pokemon collection.
You saw Carl the Collector as one of the first kids in Western New York to see it. What did you think of that show?
I thought it was very, very, very funny.
What was funny about it?
When they put all the toys on the ceiling and then they immediately all came toppling down on their heads. And then when they put all the toys under the bed and then they sat on the bed and then all the toys went in the pile and right next to the bed.
Oh, wow. So collecting can be, like, kind of messy and silly sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which, before I had this binder, Pokemons were taking up over the back room. There's, like, Pokemon cards everywhere. There's, like, stacks of them all on the wall.
Do you feel like you can relate to Carl and his friends?
Yes.
What's relatable about them?
I have ADHD and autism. And they have ADHD and autism.
Is that the first time you've seen someone with ADHD and autism in a TV show like that?
Yes.
And Lawson's parent, Lauren, also said the scenarios in the show were meaningful to her.
We loved it. We were very excited. I think a lot of times, especially when I was younger, maybe characters were coded as neurodivergent and it was normally played off as a laugh or it was something to kind of tease or joke about. And so as a neurodiverse family, it was wonderful to see that Carl and his friends were not only just coded as neurodivergent, but it was outspoken that they were neurodivergent. And I really especially loved, there was a scene where Carl lost some of his bouncy balls. Do you remember that part?
Yeah.
Yeah. And all of his friends, nobody belittled him for losing them. Nobody said it was, you know, not a big deal. It's just a bouncy ball. We can find it again. Instead, they said something along the lines of, if it's important to you, it's important to me, let's find these bouncy balls. And that's just such a great way to talk to someone who has a collection or an interest or is neurodivergent by affirming their interest and their collection and making it just as important to us as it is to the collector.
If you want to check out Carl the Collector, you can watch anytime at pbskids.org. on YouTube or on WNED PBS from your TV. There will also be a Carl the Collector marathon on WNED PBS from 6:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. this Friday, November 29th. We also have more interviews with our local kid collectors on YouTube and Instagram.
You can listen to the Disabilities Beat segment on demand, view a transcript and plain language description for every episode on our website at WBFO.org.
Don't forget to like or subscribe so you can help others find this podcast. And if you love it, leave a review too. The WBFO Brief Podcast and the award-winning journalism of WBFO's news team are made possible by our members. Thank you for listening.